This is Rabbi Avital Hochstein of Machon Hadar, Parashat Shmini, 5777. Regarding mistaken stringencies and humanity that is good in the eyes of God. The opening statement. Parashat Shmini contains the almost unbearable story of the deaths of Aaron's sons, Nadav and Avihu. The essence of the difficulty is not necessarily the actual death of the two sons, rather the vague circumstances of their death, circumstances shrouded in mystery. What little we do know about how and why they died is very difficult to understand. In the chapter dealing with the deaths of the two sons and with the events in its aftermath, there are two moments where the Torah records words spoken by Moshe. One at the beginning of the chapter and the other towards its end. In the first, Moshe transmits the words of God as a seeming explanation for the deaths. I will be sanctified by those close to me. And in the other, he commands Aaron and his two sons, saying how they must now continue and complete the process of the dedication of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, which they are in the middle of, notwithstanding their standing in the shadow of their brother's death. Due to the fact that the two messages by Moshe frame the chapter, one might see his second remarks as an interpretation of the first. However, the second set of remarks by Moshe is actually part of a conversation between Aharon and Moshe, during which Moshe's words are criticized and changed. Whereas initially and incorrectly, divine sanctity manifests through ones who are in greatest intimacy with God, in his inner circle, if you will, is understood as a demand for stringencies, ultimately it is interpreted as a demand for increased heed and sensitivity to the basic components of human existence. The first statement, I will be sanctified by those close to me. Immediately after the death of Aaron's sons, Moshe offers an explanation of what happened. Moshe said to Aaron, "Thus God spoke, saying, I will be sanctified by those close to me." Aaron's response is described in one word, and Aharon was silent. Aharon's silence is deafening, almost inscrutable. Perhaps it reflects his heaviness of heart, burdened with the incomprehensibility of Moshe's proffered explanation. It may also, for many of us readers of the story, reflect and reinforce our own sense of inadequacy of Moshe's words. From within this heavy shadow of this silence, Moshe calls to his cousins, Mishael and Elzaphan, turning to them to approach and tend to the corpse. Moshe summoned Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and he said to them, "Come and take your brethren from in front of the holy and to the outskirts of the camp." Moshe is not only concerned with the bodies of the dead and the attendant dignity owed to them. He also guides the mourners, Aharon and his remaining sons, Elazar and Itamar, in the ways in which they should mourn, as well as highlighting those mourning rites which are forbidden to them, given their status as Kohanim, priests. Moshe said to Aharon and to Elazar and Itamar, his sons, "Do not let your hair grow and do not rend your clothing." These guidelines are very similar to what is found as general guidelines to Kohanim regarding mourning. God said to Moshe, "Speak to the priests, the sons of Aharon, and say to them, none shall defile himself for any dead person among his kin, except for the relatives that are closest to him, his mother, his father, his son, his daughter, and his brother. They shall not shave smooth any part of their heads, or cut the side growth of their beard. They shall be holy to their God, since they offer the food of your God, they shall be holy to you. The priest who is exalted above his fellows shall not bare his head or rend his vestments. He shall not go in where there is any dead body. He shall not go outside the sanctuary and profane the sanctuary of his God, for upon him is the distinction of the anointing oil of his God, mine, Hashem's. Through these guidelines, Moshe transforms the private mourning of Aharon for his sons and Eleazar and Itamar for their brothers into a public mourning. And your brethren, the entire house of Israel, will cry. One can conceivably understand these guidelines proposed by Moshe as stemming from the way he himself interpreted the divine message that he was commanded to deliver. I will be sanctified by those close to me. Moshe's interpretation is a demand for devotion and stringencies, a requirement for behavior which is neither intuitive or emotional, rather calculated, careful, and strict. Seemingly, Moshe understands the sanctification through those who are of close proximity as a demand on those who are indeed closer to God to distance themselves in a certain way from their humanity, in this case, from their mourning, and to focus their entire being on holy work. The second statement, would it be good in God's eyes? Aharon's silence, however, does not last forever. By chapter's end, he, in response to Moshe, responds vociferously. Succinctly and almost curtly, he challenges Moshe, posing a rhetorical question that in turn leaves Moshe, in poignant parallel, silent. Subsequently, Moshe commands Aharon to resume his priestly duties, which include partaking in part or whole in some of the sacrifices that are brought on the altar. Moshe spoke to Aharon and to Eleazar and to Itamar, take the remaining parts of the flour offering which was left over from the fires of God and eat it. And you must eat it in the holy place, and the rib cage that is waved, and the thigh which is contributed, you must eat in a pure place, you and your sons and your daughters with you. At some point, however, Moshe discovers that some of the sacrificial meat, the goat that was brought as a sin offering, had been burnt and not consumed. And regarding the goat sin offering, Moshe delved into the matter, and behold, it was burnt. Greatly angered, he chastises Aharon's sons. And Moshe was furious with Eleazar and Itamar, the remaining sons of Aharon, saying, why didn't you eat the sin offering in the holy place? For it is holiest of holies, and it was given to you to bear the sins of the people and to atone for them before God. It is at this moment that Aharon finally breaks his silence and retorts to Moshe. Indeed, they have brought their sin offering and burnt offering before God today. But these things have befallen me. Should I eat the sin offering today? Would it be good in God's eyes? The Midrash emphasizes that this speaking was with strength, in an adamant way, and with a tone fierce, almost harsh. But what exactly did Aharon mean by his question? On what was he casting doubt? What was he challenging? Moshe had admonished the behavior of Aharon, Eleazar, and Itamar, claiming that they have not fulfilled their obligation to eat the sacrificial remains. Countering Moshe's righteous anger, Aharon answered that he had been involved in many sacrifices all that day, the sacrifice of the people and the sacrifices of his sons, and all was done despite the events of the day. These things that have befallen me, the loss of his two children. In light of this reality, Aharon turns to Moshe and asks, as it were, seriously? Really? Eating at a top restaurant today of all days? Would that be good in God's eyes? Does God really want or expect me to be eating sacrificial meat right now? Would he have approved of such behavior? This jarring, powerful retort to Moshe is a critique of Moshe's intuition and a challenge to the righteousness of his anger. And indeed, Moshe accepts Aharon's rebuke. As written, Moshe heard it, and it was good in his eyes. The forgotten statement, I heard and forgot. Moshe's response is understood in the Talmudic literature to reflect his recognition that his request of Aharon was ill-conceived and inappropriate. Their whole exchange ultimately teaches us about a relationship between stringencies and mistakes. Moshe's mistake is revealed in the Midrash through a compliment given to Moshe for admitting his mistake. Moshe heard it, and it was good in his eyes. Moshe immediately admitted his mistake and was not ashamed. But what is the actual mistake made by Moshe that is being referred to here? One possible answer arises from the second part of the Midrash in the Sifra. Rabbi Yochanan said, Hananiah ben Yehuda would teach throughout his life that insistence on stringency is something to be weary of. Indeed, it caused Moshe to err. Hananiah ben Yehuda's claim is that Moshe's strictness with Aharon caused him, Moshe, to err. In other words, Moshe's insistence that the Kohanim should have eaten from the sacrifice despite their status as mourners was a stringent mistake. From the Sifra and the Talmud, it seems that mistakes and stringencies are almost entwined. It seems that Moshe erred in being strict and stringent with Aharon. His mistake was in assuming that Aharon must add to the prohibitions placed upon him as a Kohen, forbidding him from various acts of mourning, among them requiring him to eat from the sacrifice despite the state of mourning. Moshe's mistake was in imposing stringency in the laws of a mourning Kohen. It is possible that Moshe is offering a particular understanding of sanctification through those who are close, according to which one should push aside human needs, such as mourning, in favor of intentional and deliberate adherence to routine behavior in the context of sanctification through those who are close. Aharon responded that this is inappropriate. He offers a different interpretation, according to which whatever the values of adherence and insistence on routine, when done in a way that pushes aside basic dimensions of human existence, one must ask, would it be good in God's eyes? Aharon claimed that sanctification through those who are close is expressed at moments when people serve in integrity, fully attuned to the holiness called for and stepped forward in their fullness as human beings, creatures who are sad, happy, and at times in mourning. According to Aharon, dismissing these human dimensions is not good in the eyes of God. The final statement. The chapter that opens with the description of the death of Aharon's sons and the declaration, I will be sanctified by those closest to me, ends with the sage's statement that stringency and strictness at the expense of the full human experience is not the way to confront the challenge of sanctification through those who are close, despite the potential fire that might erupt. Stringencies are not infrequently mistakes, and often getaways to them. People must confront and be present with what happens to them, even when they are engaged in sanctifying through closeness, and despite an intuition that the way of the Stoic is the pathway to intimacy with God. Aharon's voice teaches that one must give room to the human experience, especially regarding holiness. Only then will things seem good and right in the eyes of God and people. And Moshe heard, and he saw it fit. Shabbat Shalom.